What are we doing right now?
Yeah.
We're doing iTunes review t-shirt giveaway.
Oh,
t-shirt giveaway. Hey.
Give them away.
Yeah.
Bro,
sometimes everyone
contribute.
Every once in a while, I'm gonna say every once in a while, me and Justin, we're fucking in sync, dude.
It's like you are
beyond
Did you hear
everybody.
That was a jingle.
It's like once a month.
That was a tingle and a jingle.
Tingle jingle.
We had a little tingle jingle.
Let's give this shit away.
Yeah, we had 10 reviews this last week. We're inching our way up. It's fantastic.
10 reviews?
10.
According to recent scientific studies, that's one more than 9.
Yeah, man. That's all I've heard.
It was very impactful. So
yes.
Thank you.
He's a science guy, you know?
Right? Like, he's just dropping knowledge everywhere.
Boom. Blew your fucking mind.
So we have 3 winners this week. I'm going to read them off here. Ian Douglas, Eddie Stevens, and Points 70.
Very good.
Our winners.
Good job, guys. Thanks for those reviews. Please email Doug
at mindpumpradio@gmail.com.
Or you can reach him at meatsauce.doug. AOL. That's his
original. mindpumpradio@gmail.com.
I think he's like .cc or one of those.
And include your iTunes name, your shirt size, and your shipping address.
Good job.
Right on.
Thanks for it.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Check out this interesting observation I made.
I'm just saying.
Because you guys know how I'm always observing things from an objective standpoint.
From your monocle.
From my monocle. So I get texts from you guys today in the group text. First comes Adam. God, fuck, I'm so exhausted from this weekend.
First comes Adam.
Then
oh, you Justin. Dick. You're going to sell us out right now.
Then comes
you're a
Doug.
Dick, bro.
Then Justin. Fuck, I'm still tired. And I. Meanwhile,
Keto Sal is like the fucking Superman.
I'm having a great workout. I was doing good. And then I realized, I'm like, why are they so tired? Are they that weak? No, they're not. They're strong. These are strong guys.
Stupid.
What could it possibly be? And then I did the math. It was the pizza. It was the large.
Or maybe
large,
you were just exhausted from all your talking.
It was a-
That's more
very
likely.
Very good, very good.
That's more likely, Justin. Very good.
It was the large pizza you each
had. Yeah, no, it probably was. That,
yourselves.
Oh, my God. That kept me up like all night. It was horrible.
Dude, I couldn't fucking sleep because I kept hearing the goddamn toilet flush.
I know. I thought, dude, I was trying to creep in there all so you could hear me.
Bro, then I go to the bathroom in the morning. Man. I go to the bathroom in the morning, bro. And it looks like there was a fucking car chase in the toilet.
So gross.
The skid marks,
you
bro.
Know those noises like when the car is in the parking garage? It's like... That's kind of what happened.
Bro, fucking skin
in
marks.
In the toilet.
I'm like, wow.
It was gnarly.
Oh, God.
It wasn't, and it was
grabbing
it
on
was
the stuff,
solidified.
Too.
Yeah. You had to hold on to the sides?
I had to.
Is that why you got the lifting shock in there?
Yep.
Damn. Man. Other than that.
Keep my grip tight.
Other than that, I would, what a fucking awesome weekend with you guys, man.
Yeah, it was another awesome one.
Thank goodness somebody.
Yeah, let's talk about this.
Somebody booked another place for us to stay.
Well, actually, so check this out.
Go ahead, tell. Go ahead,
no, you surprise us. You surprise us with this freaking sick house in the hills of what is that? SoCal.
Yeah. SoCal. Yeah.
So you walk in, big ass house, beautiful house. They have a koi pond in the middle of the living room.
Yeah.
With koi fish.
Yeah, the nice little waterfall, you know, going in there.
Waterfall. They had a freaking jacuzzi.
Super tranquil kind of vibe.
They had a sauna.
Yeah.
In there. It was freaking amazing.
So I just want, we have to let the listeners know how first of all, the very first trip that we took, we went up to Reno. And that's where I gamble up there a lot. So I have comps at the place. And so I set us up in a, you know, floor, like we took the top floor at Atlantis. And it was awesome because we had all kinds of room and stuff. And
we had room to do activities.
Yeah, this time around, so Sal says, hey, you know, I'll take care of, you know, last time you took care of it, I'm going to take care of our accommodations and everything. And I'm like, all right, cool, sweet. So he sets up a deal at a cabin or a condo over on the beach, which is like literally on the beach. And we're all cool.
Sounded awesome.
Yeah, we're all like, hell yeah, for sure. So no one really talked about it anymore after that. And then we were planning the trip and getting other stuff going on with what we have going on business-wise. And now we're more concerned about things that we're going to knock out, la, 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 la. Well, then we go up there the weekend before. and before this last weekend, and I see the place, and it's a nice place, very nice place. But I'm like, we're four big ass dudes.
You just don't like sharing a bed, bro.
Yeah, me.
Dude, there was two beds, right? You weren't even sure if it had Wi-Fi.
The title of this movie.
The TV wasn't working.
The title of this movie.
Like
two beds, four cocks.
Two beds, yeah. And four.
Well, and so Justin and I are driving up, and Sal already has this all arranged, and we rode up separate ahead of time with them. And we're heading up to Santa
Cruz. By the way, you guys are really shitty at keeping secrets. You guys don't do
it. No. I'll get to that too. Yeah. How fucking nervous Justin gets from he's not a good liar.
Not at all. I'm horrible.
So we're driving up there, and I look at Justin. I said, "Hey, man, I don't know how you feel and stuff like that, but I didn't come this far in life to be 35 years old and have to sleep with another man."
Like, I've already been there.
Yeah,
that.
Like,
you know what I mean?
I'm like, yeah, it was cool when we were in college and stuff, and you know, like,
bro, I'll sleep on the couch. Yeah, bro.
Yeah, as long as
we don't face each other.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm like, you know, I know Sal's so easygoing. No. And I said, maybe this is
I'll sleep anywhere.
Well, Justin, I thought, maybe he's conspiring right now. What is he trying to do right now? What is he trying to convince us?
I know.
It's like, okay.
We always joke on the show. But, you know, yeah. Like,
no, I don't want to sleep.
This is
sleep
kind of a setup.
And, you know, if we absolutely had to, but I told Justin, I said, well, here's the deal. If we get there, you and I are going to take off and we're going to go rent a room at Hilton. I got us covered. Don't worry about it. We'll go there. Yeah. Like, I don't want to sleep with you, bro. No offense. I just don't want to sleep with you. And we'll hang out there all day and we'll work. And then I said, you know what? Fuck this. I'm gonna get on like looking for a place. So I called up Katrina and I said, "Hun, I need a favor from you real quick." And I'm like, "What are you doing?" She's like, "Nothing. What do you need help with?" And I said, "Well, Sal put us in a pretty small place for the four of us big dudes. You know how I am, where I want to stay and stuff like that. Could you find a place, Airbnb or a hotel with a nice suite in it for all of us or something?" And she says, "Yeah, no, I'll get on and I'll call you back." Well, mind you, it's like, what, 7, 8 o'clock at night on Friday night, right?
Yeah. This is like last minute ditch effort.
Yeah, totally last minute. And Justin and I agree. We were like, okay, if we can't get a place, we're not going to be a bunch of little bitches and be like, oh, we're not all hanging out together. Because it is about all of us being together and working together. But I was like, dude, you know, at the end of the night, we'll just go to a hotel or something like that so we can sleep. But we'll stay there all the way till everybody.
Yeah, that wouldn't have looked suspicious. Yeah, oh, guys, we're going to go by ourselves.
No, we were communicating.
Like, I would have been like, Doug, they're definitely fucking.
We're going to go on a little trip real quick. We'll be back in the morning.
No, we were going to communicate it, but we were just concerned about hurting Sal's feelings. I didn't want Justin and I were both very, that was our number one concern. It's like, hey, we don't want to stay here.
Listen, my feelings aren't hurt, assholes. Anyway, continue.
So, he's a little sensitive.
So we're trying to think of how we're going to, I said, okay, so let's just make it a pact that if Katrina cannot get us in a place, because it's, like I said, Friday night, 7 o'clock, we got to hope that we can meet with the owner, get the key or however that works, you know, for Airbnb. So, you know, and they respond obviously to her right away because guess what? Sal and Doug are on their way to the place that we're supposed to be going. So it's like kind of, we're pressed for time. So I tell Justin there's a chance that we might be staying there and then the next day we'll figure it out, right? So Katrina calls me back and she goes, oh, she sends me over a couple of places and she says, here's your options. And I opened up the very first one and all I actually saw was the living room space. And it said slept 7. So I'm like, okay, that's fine. And the living room space was just like how the suite was set up. It was just this big, open, huge floor. I mean, they had a koi pond inside of it. We didn't need that, but that was cool. And then the fireplace, but it was just when we get going in on these fitness, you know, programming, it gets crazy. It literally turns into 12 hour.
We walk around, we pace, we need space, dude.
Yeah.
Well, it's we get there.
I realize that.
This is what the schedule looked like. We get there at, I don't know, probably by 10 o'clock, we're sitting down ready to work, 10 o'clock at night. And we went nonstop till, I don't know, 2, 3 in the morning. Then we woke up, got breakfast, came back, got back around 9:30 in the morning, went from 9:30 to 7 p.m. non-fucking stop.
Yeah.
And when I say non-stop, I don't mean we're just there. I mean it's constant screaming and going and writing and yelling and doing this and that. And Doug is feverishly trying to take notes and recording the whole thing on, you know,
like,
on his
slow
phone.
Slow down.
Yeah, slow down. We're just getting crazy. Then 7 o'clock comes around. We watch the UFC. UFC finishes. And we go back to fucking work again for another 3 or 4 hours. I mean, that's how insane it is. And it's you know, when we do the show, we have this really good chemistry. That's what people talk about, right? Our chemistry, and we feel it too. You know, we can just rap with each other. But when we get in that creative mode when we're programming, holy shit, it gets feverish.
Yeah,
like ideas are coming out like crazy, and people are standing on tables because they need to get their words out.
I'm pantomiming it the whole time.
And well, Justin and I decided to indulge a little bit this weekend. So, And Sal and Doug.
Heroin.
Yeah. Sal.
Yeah, no, right. I'd be over
no,
the corner.
No, not that. Not that. I came off the keto. I've been on ketogenic for a while now. And I had planned. We went and picked up
the
groceries.
Yeah, that sounded like we just did some crazy drug.
Yeah, you know? Right.
It was like, yeah, it was pizza.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Everybody, like,
it
thanks,
was.
Adam.
It was pizza. It was not a drug.
Shit.
Or was it? Anyway.
We came up, we went grocery shopping before, and so I picked up all this stuff for...
By the way, those avocados should be ripe by fucking next month.
Let's talk about Doug's cooking, though, by the way. Fantastic job,
Doug.
What was that
dish you made?
Man, that was good.
Yeah, it was like a Thai chili basil.
It's fucking amazing.
We
should have
stopped there, Adam. But Adam was like, bro, I'm on the bulk, man. He took me down with him in flames. We kept eating.
And you guys ate... Actually, if it were what you really wanted to eat, it would have been a fucking blizzard from Dairy Queen.
We drove by, there's a Dairy Queen. He's like, oh,
dude,
bro, we're getting one.
Okay, so
the only reason why you wanted to get one is because that motherfucker was closed.
So now I feel guilty. Now I feel guilty, and I have to share something right now because I always keep it real with all.
Did you have the blizzard?
No, without
Justin?
No, but
dude, seriously?
So the goal for me heading into this weekend, so I should tell. So I just recently did a post yesterday, right? And the post was me transitioning from my mini cut to a mini bulk. People always ask me, like, you know, how long exactly, or how do you know when to switch, this and that. Here's a perfect example how it really goes down. So
you have a break?
Yeah. What happens is I'm on a mini cut. I'm doing great. The plan was to go through this weekend and continue it till next week. But you know what? I looked at Justin and I said, man, I don't feel like eating ketogenic all weekend while we're on this. I'm going to be on a bender.
We went anti-establishment.
We
right?
did.
Because like Sal was so keto this whole weekend. Right?
Yeah.
We were like, no.
Yeah.
Let's do something crazy.
While you fuckers are eating your croissant, bacon and egg sandwiches and your pizza and shit, I was literally, and you guys know this, I literally had a tablespoon and a jar of fucking coconut oil. And every once in a while, I walk over there and I just eat it.
Your breakfast said it all. It was like egg yolks and salad.
Yeah, and just resent you guys. I was just watching you guys like, you fucking asshole.
So that's how I transitioned to my mini bulk. It wasn't really planned. I figured, hey, I've got down pretty dang lean before making this transition. I wanted to make it another week, but fuck it. You know what I'm saying? I ate a mad surplus of calories. Now I'm just going to switch my focus, and now I'm going to...
But don't kid yourself. We paid for it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's why you're right. Like, you did have this energy. Like, we know that. See, that's what happens.
Yeah.
Right? But it was fun.
And it didn't fit
it
your macros.
Hurt.
And
it
you know what?
Fit
actually,
macros.
That's a really good point that Justin says that, because these are the way I feel like. And this, we talk about having a good relationship with food, and I feel that's important, because recently it's been really cool. A lot of our members have been leaving testimonials
on the forum.
Yeah. Literally a couple times I have gotten choked up actually listening to it, because they're really powerful.
Yeah.
The people that are sharing, it's, you know, you have all different types of people from all over the world, you know, that are starting to share this. And it's neat that how the impact, a lot of the common theme has been this, you know, the relationship with food, which I love that. And I think that's probably one of the favorite messages that we've always tried to deliver, is understanding how food reacts with your body and how you feel when you eat a certain way. And it's not like, oh, this is bad because I'm gonna get fat. It's like, oh no, I don't like this food because it makes me feel like shit afterwards, you know, and understanding that. And then when you do make
sometimes
those,
it's worth the
well
like
exactly
shit.
And this is the way literally my mental process goes. Like I said, I've been dialed, I've been on my cut, I'm down, I'm nice and lean. I wanted to go another week, but I was planning on switching to a bulk anyways. I'm looking at Justin, and I'm just like, you know what? Honestly, my brain is going to be grinding out all weekend.
He picks the weakest one in the crew.
Justin.
He zeroed right into me, dude. Took me under his wing. Bro, we're doing this.
You're the wounded gazelle.
Like,
hey, true story. I said it to Justin, and Justin was like, fuck yeah. I'm like, hey, let's go to your burger spot.
Yeah,
he's like, okay.
All right. Sounds good.
Picks the weakest one.
I love that you just admitted.
You know,
that
you know
right
what
there.
Else?
Sal would have fought me. I'm like, fuck this. I'm gonna get Justin. We're gonna team up on Sal.
Bro,
if he joins us, if he joins us, awesome. Fuck him. If
you
he
know
doesn't.
These organic eggs and you know,
yeah. Yeah. Well, but you know,
all the spinach.
Really though, that's the relationship. And I knew damn well that I was gonna go for a 12-hour bender.
That he was gonna have,
and I was gonna eat like shit. It's so true.
Oh God! But and, I knew we were,
and that's why you're right, rubbing preparation H on your asshole.
Exactly. Yeah. But you just gotta know that, and you gotta understand that, and you know, it's not like I'm not gonna beat myself up over it. I'm back on it. I've been dialed all today, and in fact, I think it was Justin brought one of his clients brought cookies, and he tried to put them in the room, and like I don't even have a desire for those right
now. Wait, hold on a second. Where are they?
Oh, what?
Doug ate them all.
Oh,
Doug is taking them.
Doug.
Yeah. It probably doesn't need to be the shot.
I need to get rid of these. I'm done.
Dude, I'll say this too. One last thing. I fucking love koi fish. I love koi fish. They're like dogs.
It was cool. Yeah,
they come up to you and they're like, they stick their mouth out of the water. And you're just like, oh, he wants food. He's so cute. Yeah.
Is that I like koi. Is that why your pants were down last night?
Huh?
Weird. What?
If you look. Hey, you know, it's like,
hey, you know, like that's not how you fish.
Yeah. You know that picture, Retta? I'm picturing a whale in the ocean, and then those little fish that like nibble at it
on
to clean it. No, they clean the fucking whale.
Yeah.
Like, guys, look right. How, hey, guys, look like, how clean.
Ooh, yeah.
Look how clean I am now.
It's a symbiotic relationship we got established here.
So how'd you get yourself so clean? I let the fish nibble at it.
I'm gonna call animal police.
We're never gonna be able to stay there again. We can just chalk that up.
Yeah,
it's all right.
You know what sucks too is we left our business card. He's probably listening to probably the most recent episode, which will probably be this one dropping. That'll be great.
Hey, good looking couple. Two men. Very nice looking couple. Beautiful place.
It was so funny that we didn't even know that, and we had been there for a while. We
knew it though subconsciously because you have a very
the decor kind of gave it away.
Very nice decorated place. Okay. You have a koi pond and somebody. Two people who are professionals who obviously do well for themselves without kids live here, and they're pretty cool.
They're into really unique and artistic.
Well,
interesting
it's two
stuff.
Guys. It has to be.
And then, well, the other thing was we all like, damn, this is what I would have this or I would do this.
Yeah.
What does that say about us? What does it say about us?
That says that we got good taste, bro. Yeah. That's exactly what it
had a meditation room and it had a sauna.
It just says that women end up getting what they want in the house. That's what that says.
Yeah. Yeah. See, when we get what we want.
It looks like that.
It was definitely good feng shui.
We got a cool shit.
Yeah. What are we doing?
Huh?
I have no idea.
What?
What's that? Is it?
Doug?
What's sounds like the bird just took a drink.
it's a gargling eagle.
It's a gargling eagle.
Yeah,
that's
I've been to that. Have you been to that bar?
It's
one of my favorite bars, actually. Yeah. The gargling eagle.
Oh, the gargling eagle.
So the rest of you 50,000 that are still tuned in,
we're about to answer some fitness questions.
Get up on that gargling eagle, motherfucking quads.
All right, let's do it.
Brad D. Peterson, what rate of gain or loss do you aim for in a bulk or cut?
That's a good question. So
one that there's not a right or wrong answer.
Yeah, I mean.
Let's see how Sal tackles this.
We don't really believe in long bulking or long cutting periods of time for a couple different reasons, but let's start with bulking. When the concept behind bulking is to consume excessive calories over what your maintenance caloric burn is. So if my body burns 3,000 calories a day, I might eat 3,500 or 3,800 calories. Those extra calories do have a muscle building effect. They do have an anabolic effect independent of resistance training. You'll even do this, even if you don't work out, you'll gain mostly fat, but you might gain a tiny bit of muscle. So there's a little bit of an anabolic effect. When you combine it with weight training, there's a big anabolic effect. But here's a problem. Once I continue a bulk for a certain period of time, let's say I do it for 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks, I lose that anabolic signal and it just goes to fat. So I just gain a bunch of body fat. The flip can be said is true for a cut. When I'm in a cut, if I go for initially, I get a nice fat burning effect. But if I stay on the cut for too long, I start to lose a lot of muscle as my body tries to adapt to the reduced calories by removing its energy burning machinery, muscle. So we believe in short bulks and shortcuts. I can only speak for myself because it's different from person to person depending on how big or lean you are. My body weight, I won't let it go up above. I'll gain maybe 5 to 7 pounds at the most in a bulk before I start to bring it back down. Ultimately, my goal is to each time I go in a mini cut to have gained a little bit of muscle overall. So it's kind of like a step, like a step ladder moving up where I go bulk and I cut for a little bit and bulk
you
a little bit.
You keep it like... pretty much within like a 500 calorie surplus.
I do. And what I'll do actually is not unlike what Adam just did, is I'll have the first 2 days or so will be very high calorie. And I don't eat pizza and stuff like that. What I meant was just that there's no science behind this. Just what I do for myself. So before everybody starts to try it,
right.
This is just what I do for myself.
Okay,
but I'll,
I'm glad you said doing that. It. I'm writing this.
Yeah. So I'll have like a couple, like 1,000 or 1,200 calories over surplus, and then I'll go to 500 type of deal. So I don't know.
I definitely think that this depends a lot on how lean you are before you go to do this. If you're somebody who's, mind you, both, all of us are pretty similar as far as the mini cuts and bulks. We all are on the same page, believe the same way. Once again, it's our beliefs. There's still a lot of science. There's not a lot of studies around what we're talking about right now. So with the studies, with the science that we do know and what we're aware of, like Sal saying, once you get to a certain body fat percentage, you know, the amount of that that's getting converted over to muscle starts to diminish just because naturally our hormonal levels are going to come down. Your testosterone level is going to come down as your body fat percentage gets really high. So once you start pushing over 15, 16% body fat, your those hormone levels are coming down. That's shooting us in the foot. So you don't want to do that. So if you're somebody who's really lean and you're bulking, you could probably get away with stretching that longer, you know, and still get some pretty good benefits before you start to see adverse from it. Somebody who is already at like, you know, maybe 10% body fat, which is still pretty lean, right? 9-10% is still pretty lean, but you got to be careful because real quick, 10% turns into 15 when you're aggressively bulking like a lot of bodybuilders do. You see a lot of these guys that on Instagram that are competitors and they go on these bulks, man, and they dirty bulk or they aggressive bulk. And, you know, that
it's just the whole season. It's a bulking season.
Yeah, they exactly. Treat it. Yeah, it's very, and I think that's a lot of, you guys know that we always push back on bullshit trends, you know, especially bro science type stuff like that. Like to go through a bulking season, like a whole winter or some shit, which is what most people do, is silly.
To me, it's an excuse. It always looks like an excuse to just eat as much of whatever as I want. Oh, therefore I'm going to bulk.
It is. It really, because that's what people do, you know, and even people that are, it's not just in the winter. It's just, you know, you see somebody eating a bunch of shitty food and you go, oh, what are you doing? Oh, I'm bulking.
Typical bodybuilder diet that competes is about binging and purging. It is literally an eating disorder.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
They go restricted to binge to restricted. And this is how they cut and bulk. And the populace who looks at these people as people that lead in fitness and should give them good advice, they then try to adopt this, but they have a tough time doing it. Number one, they don't have the same genes that these people have. Number two, they have regular lives. And number three, they're not on all the gear that those guys are on. And so you get guys in the gym. I see it all the time, dude. You see the kid in the gym and he's, you know, he's just been bulking forever. He's sitting at 20-something% body fat now. And, you know, the poor guy thinks he's gained all this muscle, but if he were to burn it off, he probably would have gained almost none compared to where he was before. You talked about being on a bulk a little longer if you're leaner, vice versa. Even in that situation, I totally agree with Adam, but I also think they should stagger it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So what I mean is, like, let's say you had a 1,000 calorie surplus to bulk, then you should drop down to a 200 calorie surplus for a week. And then bump it back up or do something in that type of way, or maybe even go down to maintenance for a couple of weeks just to get the body to continue.
Well, I mean, if you want to get crazy, this is where I get.
And we want to get crazy.
Yeah. I mean, this is getting into my world and what I love to do. And I think out of all of us, I probably track my macronutrient intake probably more crazy than any of us, right? I would think.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
I don't track at all.
100%. I'm extremely fascinated with how my body responds to all foods. I'm always jumping on some different. Like I said, I was doing the ketogenic with Sal for a while because I like to pay attention to that, and I track it. I track it and then I go back and I refer to how I feel, how I look, how I perform. Am I shredding out fast this way? Am I shredding out slow? Am I putting on good lean mass and no fat with it? Like, I'm watching all this stuff. And, you know, one of the things that's been really neat about the ketogenic that we're doing right now is I noticed that I can eat in excess and it does. I don't feel like I feel when I eat an excess of carbohydrates. If that translates to an exact percentage of body fat, I don't know. But this is what I noticed.
Have you noticed that you, because this is for me, I definitely noticed that I can eat more and I stay leaner.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. I can have a
surplus. It's pretty crazy.
So, you know, so knowing things like that, I'll play with my, like, let's say I'm on a cut, right? And I'm going down through my cut. And like Sal was talking about the calories up or down. Well, our patterns are not always the same. Like my Tuesdays and Thursdays are crazy as far as my movement. On a Friday, I'm way less than I am on a Sunday. Like my, I track all my steps, my calories that I'm burning. So I'm watching all this. So I eat kind of like that. I don't eat in this, oh, I'm always on a 2,700 calorie diet right now. Like I will pay attention to my moving. If I'm moving a lot and I need, I can use more fuel, I'm going to use more fuel. I'm still in a deficit. I'm still dieting, but I'm going to shoot my calories up that day because I'm in need of it. I'm moving more anyways, and I'm trying to keep my body healthy. And I think it's also important that you don't do those. You don't eat exactly the same way, the same foods like so many bodybuilders do, because our bodies are adaptation machines. They adapt to everything and anything we do. And changing the foods, changing the way you
eat. It's just like changing your workout.
It is. It's very similar. I don't know why we don't talk about that very much. I feel like, you know, maybe it's because there's not a lot of studies or a lot of science around it, but there's enough for us to understand that, you know, that's where the whole cheat day came from. We know if you've been running on a low, and your leptin levels are starting to suppress, then all of a sudden you fire it with a 5,000 calorie day, you shoot those leptin levels up like crazy and tell the body it has all kinds of extra fuel to burn. So there's definitely science behind all that, but people don't misunderstand how to utilize it, you know?
Now, Justin, you don't keep track, neither do I for the most part. But you do pay attention to your food because we've talked about that. You've talked about this in the past. You seem to base it on performance more than anything.
100%.
So, yeah. What do you look for?
So, what I look for is just like dips in my energy, like especially in the beginning of my day. Like I notice what I've been eating will contribute to how energetic I am and how like my cognitive function is, you know, as far as that goes. But really, I do notice that I'll have bits of inflammation, you know, if I eat in excess of something that has, you know, a lot of like processed carbohydrates or something like that, or like sugar or anything like that, like it really does affect me, and more so because I'm in tune to that now. So that's something that like I think a lot of people get desensitized towards when they're really
they have no
connection with it. They just this is something like and it's a mask because a lot of times. And I think there was a question too on here we didn't address about like what do we think about energy drinks? Well, it's the same thing. It's you're bombarding your body with all these like inflammatory foods, and now what I need to stay up. I need to stay up by adding in the stimulant, and they also flood you with sugar to go along with that. So they try and give you that spike. But yeah, it's just noticing that. It's noticing like how I feel when I'm more hydrated. It's noticing how I feel, you know, like certain foods when I'm eating more fat, obviously, you know, I do feel better when I'm focused on that, when I'm eating more greens and, fresh organics food, it all makes a difference.
So, you know what I'm noticing is here's a trend. We have Adam who tracks like a competitor would, right? And we have Justin who tracks based on how he feels. Mm-hmm. Both of them don't eat the same shit every day.
Yeah.
So whether you're paying attention to how you feel or paying attention to it like a chemist trying to manipulate your body, ultimately that's how your body runs best, is best based on activity and how you feel and how you perform, and you'll naturally do many bulks and many cuts.
Mm-hmm.
So
the next question is from
how many farts I have.
What?
Sorry, I had to throw that in there.
Beautiful, Justin.
Thank you, Justin.
No problem.
Tiffany J. Little is asking, do you believe women's training and diet should change throughout the month as their hormones change?
Yeah.
Didn't you say they should lock themselves in their room for 7 days?
Yeah,
you said so?
Don't go outside.
Watch out for wild animals. That kind of thing.
God, we sound like such assholes.
Yeah.
So, yes, the training and diet, I wouldn't say should change, but I would say for some people it should change. It definitely could change based upon, you know, your menstrual cycle. The most obvious being that some women have a very heavy period, and so they
get like weird.
They tend to become anemic or slightly anemic during that period of time. And so these women, you'll notice they'll have lack of energy, they'll look more pale, maybe some dizziness, and they definitely should eat more red meat. More organ meats, more red meat. If you're not a meat eater, then you can take some iron supplements. You can get iron from vegetable sources, although that's much more difficult. And so in those cases, and I'll tell you what, they'll do blood tests on women, and depending on where they are in their cycle, they'll either show up as anemic or not. So this is a relatively common thing. So that's the one that really stands out to me the most. Otherwise, pay attention to your diet when you're getting cravings, because cravings are quite common. A lot of times cravings are happening because your body needs something, and so your brain makes you crave something that contains what you need. For example,
dark chocolate.
Dark chocolate contains magnesium in it.
It's, you know, that dark chocolate is actually the number one or number two source of actually iron.
It's got some iron in it.
And that's really, yep. So normally that's why chocolate is so craved for women like that. So
interesting.
Yeah. Spinach, or I always say have a spinach raisin steak salad. Have a spinach raisin and steak salad.
Very good.
Yeah.
What's it called? Is it called pica eating, where they eat like clay?
Yeah, because people lack a, I forgot what nutrient
it's
or whatever.
Some weird mineral.
Yeah. Some of those cravings come from that. Also, don't be so hard on yourself. I've trained a lot of women who are very serious about exercise. Mm-hmm. And it's just, they're so hard on themselves because their body changes a little bit. And it's natural. You're going to hold water.
Exactly. Yeah, you're going to be bloated. You know, you can already feel like, you know, you're not at your tightest.
Yeah. And so, but be okay with that. No, it's going to go away soon. It's
temporary.
It's temporary. As far as exercise is concerned, exercise according to how you feel. That doesn't change. I don't care if you're on your period or not. If you feel shitty, then, you know, be active at a much lower intensity. If you feel great, go for it. You know, it doesn't change anything in that regards.
Stay away from
That rage on the weights.
Stay away from the carbonated drinks. No Diet Cokes, no Cokes, none of that. So the carbonation's
I'm not winning any fans today.
Make the bloat worse
during
that time. That'll just make that more extreme. So stay away from the Diet Cokes and any carbonated drinks.
Alice NASA 32. Strong and tight glutes.
Yes, she's referring to me.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, like good glute, Sal.
I thought she was Claude. Oh,
that was your nickname.
So, if you have strong and tight glutes, should you skip working out or train them?
First of all, if you have strong and tight glutes, don't you dare stop working those bad boys out. What the hell's wrong with you?
Keep that signal alive.
This is a great question, because the question is, if I have a tight muscle, should I not exercise it because it's tight?
Worst thing you could do.
Answer is no. Yeah, Adam's 100%. Mm-hmm. The answer is no. If you train a muscle properly through its full range of motion with the type of weight that you should be using, and of course we're talking about regular tight muscles, not tight, potentially injured muscles, then it will only improve upon how they feel.
Right.
To take it a step further, if your glutes are always really tight and they hurt, you should focus on functional mobility before your workout, do static stretching at the end of your workout, and maybe look and see if there's any muscle imbalances that are causing that. But otherwise, no, don't stop exercising.
Yeah, and mobility itself, it's strength and flexibility combined. So if you think of it that way, you're still working it out. We're just doing it at a lower intensity and in volume. We're trying to get circulation. We're still trying to send the signal so you're connected to that that muscle group. But range of motion is the key point here as far as that's concerned.
Well, this is I feel like this question is kind of close to home for me just because –
You do have tight glutes.
I do. Yeah. I have tight everything, actually. Out of the three of us, I am probably...
You're the tightest of all of us?
Yeah, I'm the tightest of all of us. And that, the last 3 years, I've been training like a bodybuilder. I've been training like a competitor to look a certain way. And I have, for the first time in my entire fitness career, have I ever done that before. I've never trained like that. I've always trained my body, probably more like Justin, where... I did do a lot of performance, high repetition. I do a lot of supersetting. I used to do a lot of and changing exercises like crazy. When I got into the whole sculpting thing, I was much more focused on specific movements and detail and stuff, trying to sculpt this physique. And I neglected to do the things I should be doing. And so this is close to me in that right now I'm going through MAPS Green, which is our performance MAPS. And, you know, it's I was doing a behind the head shoulder press. If I do a bodybuilder shoulder press, I can do between 225 and 275. I think 275 is the most I was ever doing of that. 225 would be pretty easy for me to do. I'm doing that with a bar. I'm doing it with a bar and coming all the way down. And it's pretty funny to watch me do that probably when people walk by me and see me and I'm, you know, this.
With a special focus on mobility.
Exactly. I mean,
you got to be clear. Because,
exactly. Yeah. And that is the reason why. Now, that was my reason for giving you the analogy of how much I could do that. And yet it's not about that right now for me. For me, it's about working on mobility. And I have very tight shoulders and it feels like I should not do that. It feels like I should not bring my shoulders behind my. But I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to move that way. So I'm not going to challenge myself really weight wise right now. Right now, I'm really just focusing on being able to retract my shoulders and come all the way down, all the way to the bar to the back of my neck, and then up over my head full range. And it's actually very challenging because I'm focused on my posture and my body and my depth that I'm going on this. I'm not focused on how much weight I'm pushing.
Now that you've been doing that for a little while, are your shoulders tighter?
Oh, they're way more mobile. They're way more loose. That's what I mean with this, the whole tight glutes is you probably
have to be a full range of motion. That's the important thing that he's saying here is work them, go light, do your squats or your lunges and go in a very nice exaggerated full range of motion and come all the way up. But you're going to have to use light ass weight because you're so tight within your range of motion that if you move out of that with heavy weight, you're gonna hurt yourself.
Yep.
You know, she'll probably hurt her lower back is what I'm thinking with the tight.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's why I'm saying this is your focus is now different. And it's hard for people to make that mental switch, even myself, because I know how much I can press and my ego gets in the way of what I should be doing. And I'm like, well, let me just try a little more. You know, no, why? That's not the purpose of this. I do one rep and I let my shoulder protract in the middle of that. That to me is a failure. I failed that set. So I care more about keeping this strict, perfect form the entire time with lightweight that I know I could do 100 reps with than I care about adding 15 or 20 pounds. So it's learning to refocus. Yeah. And that's why we created that. That's why we created Mobility Days Within Green, you know?
Oh, it's optimizing your movement capacity, right? It's establishing what your body can do. It, like what we're doing, like with all these other types of training, we're really limiting, you know, the potential of what the body can achieve. And why not, you know, spend some time in that realm, you know, go back, focus on improving your overall aesthetics, your physique, your go through and like get your strength and power and all that established, but spend some time on how your body moves. It's really important.
And, you know, incidentally, every single time I've done that for myself, I've built muscle.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I'm sacrificing one for the other. For the longest time, I had, just like Adam, tight shoulders, and I couldn't press very heavy behind the neck. And about 4 years ago, that's when this kind of stuff kind of dawned on me. And I said, you know what? I'm going to start working with very lightweight, and I'm going to go beyond the range of motion that I'm normally comfortable doing, but just move within there. And little by little, I built up strength within that range of motion, and my shoulders are far more mobile now than they were before. Same thing goes for my hips and other parts of my body. So if you're tight somewhere, you should exercise it like you normally would, but just move beyond that tight muscle's range of motion into the point into some, you know, extra range of motion.
Yeah, unexplored territory.
With a very light load.
There you go.
Modern Day Dads is asking if we see any place in the future where entheogens are used in fitness.
Entheogens.
Yeah, explain entheogens.
Entheogens are another name for an entheogen would be like a psychedelic. These are substances that alter, you know, your consciousness. Yeah. So psilocybin, which is for mushrooms. LSD, lysergic acid, diethylamide.
I love when he talks.
You like that stuff?
You serve that up to him. Yeah. You knew.
How about AIDS?
Dimethyltryptamine, DMT. These are all.
Oh, there you go.
That's the last one. What's interesting is these substances all act on the serotonin receptor. So that's this kind of little cold side science, and they're kind of related. Anyhow, they're doing a lot of research now with these types of substances, psilocybin, and there was some LSD stuff done before, but I think they're starting to bring it back now. Ecstasy, otherwise known as MDMA, I believe they're doing some studies on, and they're finding that in the use of for therapy, they're extremely effective. Psilocybin in particular, which is magic mushrooms, they've done studies now with people who are at end of life. So terminal. So like you've got 3 months to live.
I've heard that too.
You know you're going to die. And what people don't talk about when you're in that period of time, and I witnessed this myself. I had someone very close to me pass away a couple of years ago who was terminal, is when you get close to that point, before they accept it, there's this extreme period of anxiety and fear. It's like, you know you're going to die. You know what I mean? It's going to happen. And what they would normally do is put these people on antidepressants and, you know, maybe opiates and stuff like that. Well, they found when they gave these people psilocybin and they had combined it with therapy is that they dramatic decrease in anxiety, stress. They felt like they were at one with everything. They felt at peace with what was going to happen. So the reason why I want to talk about that is because fitness, isn't just about physical health. It's also about mental and spiritual health. And as the fitness industry continues to merge with wellness, which is what Mind Pump's been talking about for the last year, I believe in the future that will be a piece of it that will come into it. And I think it will be the fitness people that will embrace the use of these substances in professional, maybe clinical settings or where people know what they're doing. I think fitness is where that movement's going to start.
Great
speculation.
Yeah, it does. It reminds me of why everybody gravitated to these yoga and these Bikram yogas and
absolutely.
Yeah, like these organized ways to escape and sort of find that center of yourself, that be more connected with yourself in a still sort of present way. And I feel like obviously it's controversial right now, but I do see with more acceptance of things like marijuana and these things coming into culture again, how potentially in the future, this may not be something that sounds absurd. This might be something that people will gravitate towards, and it really help aid them, to find that.
I love where you're thinking right now, because I think that, you're so right on, because the bodybuilding industry were the ones that really brought the whole testosterone and hormone, everything in there. They were the ones that are risking testing it and trying it and seeing how it is. And
fitness has always done that.
Yeah, right. And it was that was so taboo just 5-10 years, probably 10 years ago, where now you have hormone therapists. You have doctors that actually, that's what they do, is they test hormone levels. They know they can control that and keep you at optimal or peak or even above peak. So they know all this stuff and they can track it and watch, it's just like any other, and just like any other drug, it can be abused like anything else, but the bodybuilding world was the ones that bring it in. I wouldn't be surprised that same group will see that too. We'll start to see that. They'll experiment first, and then you'll start to hear more and more stories of, oh shit, so-and-so does that, and he swears he gets the most amazing lifts later, 3 days later
they've always experimented, but I'm even talking more mainstream. I'm talking the entire fitness industry, as wellness continues to merge with fitness.
God, we're so far. You're way too far.
Oh, no. I think
you're 50 years, bro.
I don't think it's going to be that soon. I don't think it'll be that long, dude.
Really?
Bro.
Dude, look how much we're fighting marijuana.
It's
going to
be like a protein bar.
Bro, no.
Mushroom bar.
It's different now. Look, if you
look
go back.
Look how much we're fighting marijuana.
You go back, go back 5 years ago, and the majority of Americans did not want the legalization of marijuana. Today, the majority of Americans do, and there are states with legal marijuana. That is quick, man. This is the age of information. Shit happens quick. I'm reading articles in Time Magazine and in Forbes Magazine about people in Silicon Valley who microdose mushrooms to increase their performance. Bro, this article would not have been fucking published 4 years ago. You've got what's his name? Dave Asprey, Bulletproof Executive, talks about nootropic supplements. You've got Smart Drug Smarts, which is an awesome
Aubrey
podcast.
Marcus, he talks about that too, and the way that they're trying to think ahead.
Oh,
about
I still
supplementing
think
it.
I still think it's a ways away, bro.
We'll see.
We'll
see. I do think it'll be. I think it'll be in combination. And look,
I think once things reach a pill form, the regular masses, for some stupid reason, they do oh, okay.
Yeah,
now it's okay.
Well, I mean, humans have been altering their consciousness forever. Little kids do it. You ever watch a little kid spin in circles and make himself dizzy? I mean, that's an altered state of consciousness. People drink coffee every day. People do all kinds of...
That's you look at a little kid, this kid's going to be a shroom head later on.
No. It's a total LSD.
No. But the reason why kids do that is because they want to experience that altered state of consciousness.
I've seen the leprechauns. It's I'm not sure
you gotta go so far. Spun
around. I used to hate the fucking Ferris wheel because it gave me dizzy.
Oh, I would just yak.
The little, what's it called?
Same reason why you're scared to do ayahuasca with me. You just don't want to fucking deal with that
shit. No, dude, I don't do good with I'm not good with those ones.
Huh?
No, I'm not. those ones.
And I don't like any, we talked about this. I don't like the people behind it. I have to do all this stuff.
You gotta do the shamanic voyage, bro. You can't just go take ayahuasca.
I know. No, but where are they going to take
Doug me? Will come with me.
Yeah, right.
I guarantee you Doug will do it with me.
I don't know.
The fucking eagle.
I definitely think you're right, though. I think it is heading that direction.
The eagle.
I think we have a long road ahead of us before we start seeing that it hit mainstream. I definitely could see that happening in the bodybuilding world first, where they start experimenting and you start hearing people do it. I definitely can see that. Because they, I mean, they're not afraid. Yeah, they'll take anything. They're not afraid to take. People hand them a pill. They're like, well, listen, this is going to speed your heart rate up so fast that there is a chance you could die if you accidentally take three too many drops. Okay, cool. How much? Yeah.
that's not an exaggeration.
That sounds hardcore. Let's do this.
Exactly. Yeah. That sounds like it's going to fucking work.
Extreme X.
Secret Agent Bob 2000. If you could have any citizenship other than a U.S. one, what would it be and why?
I thought that was an awesome question. And I'm like, oh, damn, I have no idea.
Of course you would.
Next.
No. Of course you would pick it. Of course you would pick it and then not have an answer.
I know, what the fuck? Yeah. I would nowhere because I'm fucking American.
America. America.
I don't know, dude. I know my family's from Italy and stuff like that. Would I get a citizenship there?
Europe?
You know.
What if you have like dual? Let's just ask you if you had to, right? Like,
if I had to have dual?
Or if you had to have another one.
I think I would want to hedge my bets and maybe get a citizenship to China. Just in case in case shit goes down. It's going to be either U.S. or China.
Let's go communist.
I like that strategy.
I don't think they'd let you. No, there's no way you'd be able to. But I would hate to be fucking.
You're going to leverage against the enemy, dude.
Bro, if shit goes down.
How dare you.
Shit blows up. One of those two countries is going to be standing. Probably will be America.
America, bro.
Because we're tougher. Yeah. And we're free. We'll shoot you with freedom.
I feel like people would say Canada.
Canada would be cool, actually.
Canada?
Whiskey. Yeah.
Canada?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I think it would be cool up there.
I know why you're saying that, because your beard is big right now.
Lots of hockey. A lot of snow.
No, that's cool. Yeah. Clean. Lots of drinking and
friendly. Everyone seems friendly.
Very, very friendly and clean. You're right. Nobody swears, dude. You would not.
Nobody swears.
Yeah,
I would do well there.
Yeah, I bet you get like citation after citation.
Doug, do we have any downloads coming from Canada? Because we cuss so much on here.
Of course,
I know.
We get Allie's a lot from Canada. Seriously.
We do.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We have a lot of pump heads.
Allie's from.
Oh, yeah. See, they cuss. At least they appreciate a good cuss.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't know. Yeah, Canada's. What city is it? There's a city in Canada that has the most strip clubs per square mile.
Ooh,
totally my place.
Ontario?
That's Montreal.
Toronto. Just confirming.
Maybe it's Toronto or Montreal. One of those two. But yeah, I don't know. We should go visit though, just to make sure that I didn't make that up right now.
Yeah.
That's it, right?
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. Please leave us a 5-star rating and review. And listen, you can find us on Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal. You can find Adam at Mind Pump Adam. You can find Justin at Mind Pump Justin. And check out mindpumpmedia.com. We have some pretty heartfelt testimonials on there you might want to check out.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.